I want to thank Mark for a good reading. That was a long reading. Thank you. And Edward, those are some songs that the songbook does not indicate is John 16, but yet you got some songs in there that address chapter 16 of John. Thank you. Very skillful. And then Galen's lesson this morning was very skillfully done about being a contrast of what we should be compared to what the world is. And so it sort of bled into a little bit of what John 16 is. And if you would, John chapter 16 is a chapter where Christ is giving us warnings, and yet he's also giving us assurances. And he's giving it directly to the apostles, but in like manner, he's giving them to us. Because the apostles then wrote them down, and they passed them on to us. So, here, chapter 16 of John, the whole chapter, starts off with Jesus telling about that I'm not going to, that you're going to be persecuted. And then he goes in and starts, instead of going to figurative language, he then goes to plain language. And in the very end, he says, you're going to be persecuted, but don't give up. And you have access to God through prayer, as well as you have salvation and joy through salvation through me or through Christ. I would like to take a look at those aspects throughout the New Testament in various different places, given to us, written and expounded upon by other apostles, not other apostles, but by the apostles, the disciples of Christ. So, one of the things about this world is that it's got a lot of temptations. It wants us to conform to it. And it has, Satan does a fantastic job of dangling all the pleasures and the power, the things of this life. Satan just does a fantastic job with that. But Jesus is pointing out, if you want salvation, you need to have a contrast, like Galen was saying this morning. And you will be persecuted because you are being like me. How do you know that you're going to be persecuted? Because I was, Jesus says. He says that, however, you will be given the Holy Spirit. Now, this is to the apostles, so if you would, please, let's read. And Mark already read that whole chapter of chapter 16 of John. But this would be referring to verses 5 through 15 of John. But let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So here, again, it's in a way corroborating what Jesus wrote or said in John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And that's interesting. Here we go. Here, this whole chapter, 2 Peter basically is like a long sermon, if you would. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and good godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. Let's back up. Here, we see that we're being guided into all things. All things being what? His divine power, verse 3. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. What's that meaning? There's nothing going to be hidden to us for salvation. So, that's corroborating. Let's go on. The whole 2 Peter. I'd love to read you the whole book of 2 Peter. It's fantastic in giving you the things that might be tempting, the things that you shouldn't do, and how you will have salvation if you choose to go against it. Also, let's go to this another part of John 16, verses 16 through 24. Let's corroborate that part. Let's go to John I'm sorry, this is where the sorrow, here is where the sorrow will be turned into joy. And the joy is also a form of peace. So if you would, John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it to you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is giving us a peace that the world can't give us. You can have a peace that surpasses understanding. One of the things that I have been told is that when somebody, a soldier is dying on the battlefield and they know they're dying, one of the things that some of them call out for is their mother. Why is that? Because we as adults very much remember our childhood, and that mother was safety. Mother was peace. Mother was the person that would save and help you. But is that how a Christian should look? Because in the death throes, somebody who has a fear of death, they're looking for salvation here. And where would that might be? Mama. But where's our salvation? Christ. Peter, as we'll see later, Peter was in the death throes. Was he calling for mama? We'll find out. So, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Here, Moses is being tempted with lots of worldly pleasures. He could get pretty much anything he chose to have. Pharaoh was extremely wealthy. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, 25, and 26. But faith, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses knew this life, its treasures, would be passing away. He knew listening to God would be far greater of a treasure. This is a form of peace, if you would. If you've ever been in poverty, it's stressful. It's stressful. Where am I going to get the money for this? What am I going to do that? How am I going to survive this? Yeah, the rich have stress too. Maybe not so much the money part. But some people assume that more money means that you'll have peace. Well, that may be true, but this is not the peace we're talking about, is it? I'm not talking about physical safety or peace that way. We're talking about spiritual safety and peace that will be eternal. Also, in James chapter 1, verse 2 and on. So, if you're in this life, you tend not to want to be in contrast, like Galen was pointing out. And Galen's lesson this morning is just so poignant to this whole chapter, if you would, that if you are in contrast to the world, you will be persecuted. But in John chapter 16, it's saying, yes, you will, but you'll also have joy that Christ gives you. So James chapter 1, verse 6 corroborates that. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. but the rich in his humility, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen from a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers fall and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that he is tempted of when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Here we see that we have a promise of life if we follow Christ. Also, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Here is also talking about peace. Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And stop for that moment. Think about that. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If your life is this world, to die is not gain. It's backwards, isn't it? I have some people that I know that are very wealthy, and their whole life is based on everything around that dollar. And when they die, they don't have anything to gain. They're losing it all. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith. Here, we see that if you stay on this earth, it's why. Why are we staying on this earth? To help ourselves? No. It's to help others. Why should we be looking forward to dying? It's because now we'll get our reward of heaven. If you're afraid of dying, you know you don't have a reward. And that's what's scary. Or rather, you know you have a reward, but it's not what you want. So that's, you will have a piece of that reward. A piece having Christ as salvation. The Lord God's peace versus God's wrath. That's another issue, isn't it? So, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Paul here is talking about the Lord's peace, but he's also talking about the Lord's wrath and judgment, the terror of the Lord. So if you want to consider the reward that you get, are you going to get peace or are you going to get terror? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, and go all the way through verse 11. Verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather than be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Stop. I know I didn't finish reading. Why are we here? Why are we here on this earth? Read that again. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're here to help others. We're here to try to help others be saved. Let's continue. But we are all well known to God, and I also trust that we are well known in your consciousness. Our goal here on earth is to persuade men. We are not here for our own self. How do we also continue to keep that salvation and we keep the faith? So, how do we know we need to keep the faith? Not just persuade and give up? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, but I'm going to read down to verse 8. The main body here is verses 6, 7, and 8. But I want to go up to verse 1 because, or verse 2, because here it is. It's being said, preach the word. Okay, preach the word. Now we've reached out. We're persuading men. Preach the word. Now let's continue. Be ready in season, out season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Is that all you have to do now? Just teach it. Be done. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, enduring afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am ready being poured out. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now listen to the rest of this. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Can you think about that for a moment? That last little bit. Not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Mama, mama, mama. Sadly, this thing, the person who's crying out for mama, why? They're not really loving the appearing of Christ, standing before Christ. We all need to have that knowledge that as we're dying, we should not be looking and asking for mama. Of course, I'm sure you will. Who knows? I'm not there yet. I might be flashing through my life in like a little, what do they call it, a little carousel of flash moments. Who knows? But I do know this, that when we're all dying as Christians, we should be saying, Jesus, here I come. And I'm so looking forward to it. That's what we should be saying. So, part of our salvation is keeping the faith and looking forward to seeing Christ and seeing God. If you fear that, your salvation is in question. You need to really consider, am I looking forward to it? If not, as Dennis Scroggins once told me, if you're afraid of something, there's something wrong with your life. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid of hardly anything. Well, I'm sure there's some things I could be afraid of still, but it doesn't. Usually it's I'm afraid of having a cut or something, you know, I'm trying to avoid the pain. But the fact is, Dennis is right. If you're not afraid of anything like dying, you're okay. If you are afraid of something, something's wrong in your life. And you know what it is. And so does God. Blessings are included with a salvation through Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, 9, all the way through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David has raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Buddha? No. In Allah? No. What does it say? Obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. No other way. It is through Christ. Verse 11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And if you remember what Mark was reading, Jesus said that he will be going to his Father. So if we're going to die and we are a Christian, we're living with Christ, the Christ, where are we going to be? We're going to be with God also. Verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Salvation, that's part of a plan, and one of the parts of the plan is baptism, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So I just talked to one of my neighbors this last week and said, no, you don't need baptism. You just need to have faith in Christ. Believe in Christ. And I was trying to talk to him. I said, well, let's look at these scriptures. Not, he actually said, I'm not putting my hat on that hook right there. Nope. It's this scripture right here. Oh, I was really disappointed that he wasn't really trying to see the whole scriptures, just one little section, that's all he wanted. Because it fit his viewpoint. He didn't want to see the whole plan. Well, also we found in chapter 16 of John, it says we need to not be in sin. We need to be a contrast. So in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live no longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What does this walk in newness of life mean? It means that we are to continue walking in the new life that Christ has given us, that we are to walk as Christ, sinless, the best that our ability has. Also, if you haven't read Romans chapter 6, do so. It's very much needed. Warning. We will be hated. Yep. We will be hated. Not only chapter 16 of John, but also John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 20. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the world that I said to you? I'm sorry, let me back up. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. We must be like Christ, and if we are, we will be persecuted. We also see in chapter 16 that, again, Jesus will be hated. We find that in verses 1 through 4, if you're not quite remembering chapter 16 of John yet. That's verses 1 through 4, we're being hated. So, what are we to do? Well, like we already said, we need to teach the word. But wait a minute, if you're being hated, you're going to be persecuted, shouldn't you just sort of be quiet? Well, that's not exactly what we were told to do. Well, that makes sense. If you're going to be persecuted, shouldn't you just sort of change your way so you don't get persecuted? It's kind of like Galen was putting out this morning. They said the contrast. Don't go with their flow. You need to be a contrast. Acts chapter 5, verse 26. Now, think about today. In our current society in the United States, current society, you're not being arrested for your belief that way. But can you imagine back then? Back then, you weren't just arrested. It was a lot of pain and anguish associated with being arrested. And verse 26 of Acts chapter 5. Let's take a look here. Here we're talking about Peter. Peter's in jail. Not just in jail. Back then, it's not nice. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them out without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. In this United States, do we have very many prisoners being plotted to kill by the council? Well, there's death penalties, but very, very seldom do they get handed down sometimes. Verse 34. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law and held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles out for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if this is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Stop for a moment. This man, Gamaliel, was very wise. Fortunately, from what we know in secular history, he'd never obeyed the gospel. But he did understand that if God's for it, you cannot be against it and win. Verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beat them. Now imagine today, if you were to be arrested, could you be beaten and just let go? That's not in our society. They commanded them and said not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame of his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. It's just amazing their faith and their endurance to continue. Peter also, I think Galen said this last week about Peter sleeping right before he's about ready to be put to death. Acts chapter 12. And that's a fair reading too. But simply put, Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through, and I'll just give you the paraphrase of this one, through 11. Peter is sleeping. He's sleeping. He's about ready to be put to death. And Christians are praying for him. And God sends an angel. Wakes him up. Do you think you'd normally be sleeping if somebody's going to about ready to kill you? Normally, I think most people. Well, but wait a minute. He's not calling for mama, is he? He has a peace that most don't. He knows even if he's going to die, it'll be all right. And so he's going to be sleepy. He's just going to be fine. But God and others have different plans. And so the angel is sent to release him. Prophecy of Christ is also overcoming the world. And I kind of guess, if you would, this is like Galen's last week lesson about overcoming the world. And Genesis chapter 3, it's a prophecy in verse 14 and 15. Here it's saying the prophecy of Christ. He'll overcome Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you're cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Then Jesus, in chapter 12 of John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. One more time, John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Here, Jesus also knew, and he prophesied about himself, about the same basic thing. "Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." That's Satan. Verse 32. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Christ knew the prophecy, and he's now prophesying about himself on this one. Our faith in Christ is also to do his will and have faith. And because of that, in Christ's sacrifice and grace, we're being given salvation and victory. My last one at this point is 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Reading down to verse 5, this is my final scripture. This is the whole point. If we want victory in Christ and we want salvation and we don't want to fear death and calling for mama, we need to know we have to be faithful. We have to be trusting in God and Christ. And we must preach. That's part of our reason for being here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, you will go further than my neighbor. My neighbor used this as his hanging his hat. See, all you have to do right there, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's all you have to do. I tried to point out, but you have to keep his commandments. Yeah. But that's fine. But you have to just believe. That's it. Truly, look at the... He wouldn't listen. Folks, if you look at John chapter 16, he does a beautiful job of saying, we will be persecuted. But in the end, there's joy and peace. Brethren, if you're not persecuted, think about it. If you're afraid to die, re-examine your life. If you're not teaching it, start. If you've done it, but you sort of waned off of it, get back to it. If you've sinned, ask forgiveness. If you need the help of the congregation in prayers, please don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Come forward to get the prayers of the congregation to help you so that you too will have that peace.